enrollment is underway. What are numbers looking like? How's it going?
Numbers are looking really good for the start of open enrollment this year. We are busier than we have ever been before. What we know from looking at data that's available for the first 18 days of this open enrollment period is that on average, 7,700 North Carolinians are enrolling here each day. And we are up by about 29% for enrollment if you look at this year's first 18 days of open enrollment versus last year. So from, you know, here in Western North Carolina, across the state, over to the coast, what we're seeing are that people here in North Carolina need and want affordable, quality healthcare insurance and coverage for services.
What are you hearing, questions, concerns from people?
Well, we are hearing kind of two main concerns. The first being people have concerns about Mission Health and Blue Cross and Blue Shield not having reached a contract agreement yet and what that means, because Blue Cross and Blue Shield is the only insurance carrier available in the North Carolina marketplace. So we're working really hard to help people answer their questions, understand their options for coverage both in and out of network, and we're working hard to dispel some of the really common myths or misunderstandings that are out there. The biggest one that we hear pretty much every week is just a grave concern about, well, if I'm in an accident, a car accident, do I need to be telling the ambulance to go, you know, to a different hospital? And the answer is absolutely no. Emergency care is always covered in network, whether you are here in the state or even out of state. If you have healthcare coverage, you can rest assured that you can get the emergency care services that you need. So we're really working to help people understand that. We have also this year been partnering with Mission Health to spread the word about open enrollment, because we know that with such a short window of time, it's really important that people look at their options for coverage, understand, you know, what's out there, compare things side by side, and make a decision within this shorter enrollment period about what meets their needs, both their healthcare needs and their financial needs. The other big concern that we are seeing has to do with the increase in premiums, particularly for families who don't qualify for financial assistance. We are working primarily with lower income families. We are seeing people walk away with incredible deals, zero monthly premiums, very low annual deductibles, really great coverage at a very low cost to them. And you know, that's been an important part of the Affordable Care Act. But we're also seeing and hearing from families who are on the higher end of that income range for financial assistance. And so the increase in premiums has been a concern and a frustration for them. And so we hear and we acknowledge that. We certainly know that, you know, policy decisions that went into place in the late summer, early fall regarding the federal administration's decision to stop the reimbursement payments to health insurance carriers had a direct effect on, you know, an increase in premiums. Here in North Carolina, Blue Cross and Blue Shield announced almost a 15% across the board increase because primarily of that decision. So we are working with those families to help them, you know, make sure that they've looked at all their options, that, you know, they've looked at all the different levels of coverage and prices of coverage, and then to make a decision based on, you know, what they can afford. If they are exempt from coverage because it is too expensive, we can help them apply for an exemption. And in some cases, they will qualify for a catastrophic plan because they have a hardship based on that being too expensive. So there are a couple of options to walk through with them. You know, we're doing that with them daily.
One issue making news right now, the ACA and the GOP tax proposal.
Yes. So there is a tax bill right now that is potentially going to be voted on this week by the Senate that includes a provision that would repeal the individual mandate of the ACA. And what we know is that the individual mandate is one of the components of the ACA. It is the requirement that people have health insurance or pay a fine or a penalty when they are filing their taxes. And of course, there are some exceptions to that. You know, like any good law, there are a few things where you wouldn't be subject to that penalty. But just generally speaking, you know, that's the component of the law. And we're looking at the ACA as a whole. And so when you take any one piece of the ACA away, 13
million people can potentially impact the entire law itself.
And what we know, based on the Congressional Budget Office's analysis or more across the board,
13 million people could lose coverage as a result of repealing the individual mandate.
I don't want to speculate as to what exactly will happen.
We know that right now the ACA is the law.
So it's really taking the pool of plan coverage is for 2018 marketplace
set.
It's reducing
plans
and those rates have been set.
And likely
people should rest assured
who have health needs,
that they can get quality, affordable, good
they'll
coverage
still be
right
in the
now.
Pool. But people who generally feel healthy and maybe aren't as concerned may be out of the pool. But also, people will be priced out of health insurance because premiums will increase yet again. So it is very concerning. I don't want to speculate, as to what exactly will happen. We know that right now the ACA is the law. Enrollment is happening. Plan coverage is for 2018 is set. Those plans and those rates have been set. So people should rest assured that they can get quality, affordable, good coverage right now. PSGA Legal Services will be here helping people understand when or if something should happen, but it certainly does have the impact to, reduce coverage for many people, and of course, we are very concerned about that.
Okay, let's get into a listener question. This is from Jessica in Asheville. I work for a small business that cannot provide group health care. They've just announced they'll be offering a QSEHR, a monthly contribution we can use for our premiums, deductible, non-covered medical needs, etc. I plan to continue my coverage as an individual through the marketplace. Do I need to include this in my application? How do I do that? My application so far only accounts for my hourly wage.
Well, that is a good question. That is a plan called the Qualified Small Employer Health Reimbursement Arrangement. It's relatively new. If I remember correctly, it was signed into law in 2016. So we're just starting to see more of these and understand how they need to be processed through the marketplace. The short answer is that the information does need to be provided to the marketplace. It doesn't necessarily go into the income category. So what I would recommend for your listener is that she set up an appointment with a navigator or another enrollment assister so that they can help her walk through the application, make sure it gets entered in the right place. It may require calling the marketplace, but the information should be provided so that the marketplace has all the information available as they are assessing her application.
All right, here's another. I got a letter from Blue Cross Blue Shield about my monthly premiums going up. I can't afford the new premiums. What do I do? Will I have to pay a penalty?
Good questions. And so the first part is, yes, people are getting those notices from Blue Cross and Blue Shield. They are getting in that notice put into, a certain plan that is comparable to what they've been in the past. Either they've been in the marketplace or they have a grandfathered plan. Those plans are ending, and so they're being put into the marketplace for the first time. But what we always let people know when they ask us that question is that that's not the only option for you. It's simply the one that's, been put into that notice, but there are other options and other plans available. Come in, let's look at your income, submit an application, and then compare side by side all the different plans that are out there so that you can make a good choice for you and your family. If it does end up that the cost of that plan is very expensive for your household, then you may qualify for an exemption from having to pay that penalty. And right now, that threshold is if it would cost you more than 8.05% of your total household income.
Couple of really good questions from Gary of Asheville. One really focusing in on the difference between the deductible and out-of-pocket maximums.
So the deductible is the amount of money that your health insurance plan that you have to meet, that you have to pay before your health insurance plan will start kicking in and paying for services. Sometimes there are multiple deductibles. There might be one for all of your healthcare coverage services, but a separate deductible for prescription healthcare services. So it's important to kind of look at the plan. And without looking at his plan, I can only really speak generally. Above the deductible, there's something called out-of-pocket maximum. And so that is a part of the reform aspect of the ACA that sets a total limit for what you would have to pay out-of-pocket each year. And going into 2018, for an individual, that's $7,350 or
$14,700 for a family. And premiums are not included in that. So premiums are going to be separate. You know, the premium is what you're paying to have access to the plan. Then when you get into using the plan is where you're looking at your own out-of-pocket expenses towards deductibles, and there might be coinsurance involved. I think one of the main things I'd like to emphasize here is that we as a Navigator organization, certainly we're very busy right now. We're known around this time of year when it's open enrollment, but we're also here year-round. And we're a good resource for folks who have questions as they're using their plan. And they're not sure why they're being charged this fee or, you know, how is this being accounted for? Come in, meet with us. You know, the appointment, our services are completely free and confidential. And we'll be glad to help you sort through and understand kind of what payments you're making and where they're going.
So Charlotte from Asheville writes, I've been covered under the ACA for 2 years. I've been receiving multiple emails and phone calls about updating my policy, called the customer service number, spoke with a representative. She said, if I have no changes to make, I don't need to do anything. My coverage would automatically renew at its current plan. Is that true?
So it is true that her, you know, she'll be re-enrolled automatically. But what we emphasize with pretty much everybody who asks this question is make sure that you either on your own or with the assistance of a navigator, go back into your account. Make sure that all your income information has been updated because it is about your 2018 projected income. And then make sure that, you know, if you are qualifying for financial assistance, you are looking at the new plans and prices to make sure that you are not only getting good coverage for your healthcare needs, but also getting the plan that best meets your budget.
All right, I'm turning 65 in the middle of 2018. I'm signing up for ACA health insurance until I'm eligible for Medicare. How do I go off ACA and on to Medicare?
Well, that's a great question. And we know that there are a lot of folks who are in this situation who are on the ACA until they're eligible for Medicare. What we recommend is that you set up an appointment with a navigator the month before your birthday, so the month before you turn 65, about a month out, so that we can help you with that transition of notifying the marketplace and then preparing for that coverage to end as you transition on to Medicare. You know, we want to help people. You don't want to be dually covered or dually enrolled, and you don't want to have any type of lapse in coverage also. I also just want to note that, you know, we work with different partners here in the community, and one of our partners in the North Carolina Navigator Consortium is the Council on Aging of Buncombe County. They are also a great resource. They are navigators. They also help people enroll in Medicare and understand that transition and that process. So certainly Pisgah Legal Services can help you, or we can connect you with another community partner that can help walk you through that process.
All right. I heard that the IRS can't do anything when I file my taxes and leave the question on health insurance blank. Is this true?
So what we know is that beginning this year, when you are filing taxes, the IRS is going to reject those silent returns if you're failing to specify whether or not you've had health insurance coverage. So, you know, there has been some confusion about the enforcement of the individual mandate or the tax penalty if you don't have coverage. But we've heard directly from the IRS now that that process is going to shift and that they will be returning those returns until that question is answered. So, you know, we're emphasizing for folks that implementation and enforcement of the tax penalty is still the case.
Lots to digest. Take-home messages for people.
First and foremost, you know, this is a very short open enrollment period. Time is running out. We encourage people to set up an appointment, look at their options, and make sure that they have all the facts so that they can make a good choice based on their situation or their family situation. That deadline to enroll is December the 15th. And yes, there's a lot of information out there now about, you know, what may or may not happen, but open enrollment is happening. The ACA is still the law, and there's still time to enroll in quality, affordable coverage. And so that leads to my second point. There are a lot of people here in Western North Carolina who do qualify for financial assistance. So again, check out your options, make sure that you go online, submit that application with your income information if you want to know sort of what you might qualify for financial assistance. And we are seeing a lot of people who do qualify for financial assistance. And then finally, you don't have to go through this alone. We are here to help. Our community partners are here to help. And you can reach us by calling 855-733-3711. Pisgah Legal Service has early evening appointments, weekend appointments. We will be here, and our community partners, we're here to help people get covered during this open enrollment period.
This is a tough time because we could, by the end of the week, be looking at, you know, a tax plan that pokes a lot of holes in the ACA.
Yes, we're paying attention every day, trying to keep up with, you know, what may happen, but also, you know, making sure that we're informed so that we can be a good resource for the community, for the consumers that we are meeting with daily, for your listeners here today. We want to be a resource so that people have all of the information, know what's happening, and know when it will happen. Because as we, just over the past 6 months, there have been a lot of consumers coming in talking about how they weren't sure if the ACA was still the law or if enrollment was still happening. And we want to make sure that while open enrollment is happening, while good quality coverage is available, that people know that and are able to get access to resources and services that can help them sort through all of this.
Jackie Kiger, Managing Attorney at Pisgah Legal Services, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Helen.